Was it sold?
I don't know. Maybe just yielded back. It's on what the cops here call public land.
I went back 50 years in the title register and found no transfers.
So maybe it's still ours.
In which case it would be costing us something. Biannual inspections and a little maintenance at the least. But there's no expenditure record.
There's got to be something. Not even the Army builds places and then forgets all about them.
Is it fenced?
I don't know. I'm 5 miles away. Why?
Because not even the Army builds places and then forgets all about them. Therefore, the absence of records could mean it's on a different list. It could have been a secret installation.
Reacher said, they all were.
Some more than others.
The old folks here remember a security cordon.
There was always a security cordon.
How secret could it be? They put construction workers on the site.
Secret then, abandoned now. Maybe because it was very weird. Which could be important to you, but if you really want to know, I'm going to have to do some digging.
Can you?
It'll cost you.
Cost me what? Warm, husky, breathy, intimate.
I want to know the story behind the dent in the desk.
You don't have time. You've got enough to do.
Right now I'm just hanging out, waiting on a call.
Something interesting?
It's pretty good.
Tell me about it.
That's not the deal. This is about you telling me.
I don't want to talk through a switchboard.
You've got nothing to worry about. Obviously the colonel's head was righteous, or you would have been busted at the time, and the statute of limitations ran out long ago on damage to government property.
How hard will you dig?
As hard as you want me to.
When is your call coming through?
Soon, I hope.
Then we don't have time for the story. Get me what I need by tomorrow, and I'll tell you then.
You drive a hard bargain.
I was hoping for something for nothing.
At least give me a hint.
Okay, Reacher said. It wasn't a colonel. It was a one-star general. Plato decided on an early dinner because he was hungry, because he had skipped lunch. So he showed up in his kitchen. It was something he liked to do occasionally. He felt it demonstrated solidarity with the people who worked for him. He felt it was inclusive and democratic. But it always came out feudal. His people would bob and bow and scrape and get all flushed and flustered, probably because they were afraid of him. But they had no reason. He had never victimized his domestic staff. None of them had ever suffered. Not the current generation, anyway. Two of their predecessors were buried on the property, but no one presently in his employ knew anything about that. He ordered a cold appetizer and a hot entree, and took a beer from the refrigerator, and went to wait in the smaller outdoor dining area. He took out his cell and dialed the walled villa 100 miles away in the city. He asked,
"How are we doing in South Dakota?"
The man in the villa said, "The lawyer was taken care of 6 hours ago."
"And the witness?"
"Not yet."
"So, when?"
"Soon."
"How soon?"
"Very soon." Plato felt his blood pressure build behind his temples. He looked at the next 24 hours in his mind. He liked to think, visually. He liked to see chronological intervals laid out in a linear fashion, like ticks on a ruler. He inspected them at close quarters, like a bird swooping low over the sea, and he filled some of them in and left others blank. He said,
"Call the guy and tell him the thing with the witness can't wait."
The man in the villa said,
"I will."
Plato hung up and redialed. The airfield. He put his plane on standby. It was to be fueled and ready for takeoff at a moment's notice. The flight plan should show Canada, but that would be a decoy. The reality would be 1,700 miles there and 1,700 miles back. Fuel was to be made available at the midpoint for the return leg. Then he made a third call. He needed 6 men to go with him. Good men, but not so good he couldn't afford to leave them behind. If it came to that, which he hoped it would. Reacher stopped thinking about the woman with the voice when he heard shouting in the police station lobby. One-sided shouting. A phone call. It had started out formal, gotten polite, then gotten a little defensive, and then gotten exasperated. It had ended with yelling. It had been followed by a three-way back and forth. The old guy from the desk to Holland's office, Peterson to Holland's office, the old guy back to the lobby, Peterson back to the squad room. Peterson said, "Biker trouble. One of them just called. 3 of their people are missing over here, and why aren't we doing anything about it?" Reacher said. "What did you tell them?" "We said we're working on it." "And?" "They said we better work harder, or they'll come to town and work on it themselves. They said they'll give us until tomorrow." 5 to 5 in the afternoon. 35 hours to go. Chapter 17. Peterson left again, and Reacher sat alone in the empty squad room and looked out the window. It was still snowing. The flakes came down through pools of yellow sodium light. The sky was dark. The day was ending. 12,000 nearby souls were huddling in houses, staying warm, looking at the television, getting ready to eat. To the north, the prison was seething. To the west, the bikers were doing who knew what. And somewhere an unknown marksman was rehearsing a second shot. Peterson came back and said, "Chief Holland thinks they're bluffing. He says their whole strategy all along has been to stay inside the law and deny us probable cause." Reacher said nothing. Peterson asked, "What do you think?"
"Only one way to find out."
"Which is what?"
"Reconnaissance."
"You want us to go over there?"
"No."
"I'll go," Reacher said.
"I need to see the place anyway, to find out what it is."
"You have people working on that."
"No substitute for a live eyeball."
"You're just going to show up there?"
"I'll say I'm from the Army. A biannual inspection of our property."
"On your own?"
"Why not?"
"Won't work. They'll want to see ID.
"They won't. These are not regular citizens." Peterson asked,